bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba ba.
Hump day.
That's dirty. Hi, everybody.
Isn't.
What Wendy just said couldn't have been said on regular radio, which means you're listening to us on the stream on the internet, where Wendy can do whatever she wants.
What's all this picking on me business today?
I wouldn't be a party to that.
You and Bertrand.
Wouldn't be a party to that. If you want to call us, fine. If you want to text us, please do.
That would be a lovely thing to do. I left all my material downstairs.
I don't have the numbers either.
Oh, that's 312-235-2525.
Wow.
It's on our sheet.
Nicely done.
How do you guys not have it memorized?
So it is.
I don't remember anything.
What's my phone number? Yeah, you don't know.
See, and can I just say it's, everybody gets on my case when I say I was helping my son register for college.
Yeah.
Whatever. I did.
Yeah.
Shoot me. And they asked for his phone number.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Michael, what's your number? And he's like, 708. And he had to think about it.
For his own phone number.
Yeah, because no one, everything's
programmed in everybody's phone.
I don't know Sarah's. I don't know her phone number.
Are you kidding me?
I know it's a 312 something or other.
All right, that's bad. I know Jim's. Do you know Terry's?
I know Terry's. I know my home, the house I grew up in. I know that phone number.
I do, too.
My dad still lives there, so I know that number. My wife's Papa's Pizza, 687 PAPA, even though they're closed now. You know that story about when I was out of town, right?
Oh, yes, but first, refresh my memory.
All right. I was spring break from college, and my friend and I went down to Florida, and we needed to rent a car, and we didn't realize at the time you had to be over 21 to rent a car.
I think you still do.
But
now it's 25, Kevin?
Oh, is it really?
I think so.
It should be. These crazy spring breakers trying to get a car.
Crazy spring breakers. So we flew to Florida thinking we could get a car because we reserved one. And then when we weren't 21, there was an issue. And they said, we need your parents' approval on this. So I called my mom. And keep in mind, this is 1981 or something, 80. So there were no cell phones.
I thought you were in college.
Yeah, so how old would I have been?
Well, 81, you graduated.
So a couple of years prior to that.
We're not very good at numbers.
1978? Yeah, it must have been 1978. Because I was just taking down my bicentennial decorations.
Bill, it would be after 81, because that's when you graduated from high school.
I graduated high school in 81, so 83.
78? You went backwards.
Yeah,
no wonder they wouldn't write you a car.
I had the ability to time travel back
right.
then. So, Chester A. Arthur and I were in Florida for spring break.
What does he like to do?
He just likes to hang out at the beach and read. He's not a loud guy like you'd think. So I couldn't get through to my mom. I kept calling my home phone number to talk to my mom so she could tell the people at Avis to rent me a car. And it was busy and it was busy and busy. And the only other phone number I knew was Papa's Pizza. So what I did was I ordered a pizza to have it delivered to my mom at home.
With a note?
With a note that said, get off the phone. Your son needs to speak to you immediately.
You're lying.
I'm not making that up. That's true. Today, I think it is genius because it was my only alternative.
Although it would require some waiting around at the Avis counter.
It took
30 minutes or more.
From the beginning of the plan to her actually getting off the phone and me getting through to her was about 40 minutes.
And you just sat there and waited for the pizza to be delivered?
Got to know the Avis people, heard some crazy backstory. She wanted to be an acrobat, the girl at the counter. I don't know.
Wow.
I just wanted to rent a car, but back then that was your only alternative: is you either had to wait or have a pizza delivered from a reputable pizza dealer like Papa's Pizza.
And they brought the note.
Yeah.
God, that's kind of like a ransom note.
I know. It sounds like extra mysterious or dangerous, doesn't it? But it was just she knew where I was. She knew I was in Florida and that I needed a car, so it made sense once she saw the note, but she would have been on the phone for another hour and a half or 2 hours.
And, you know, kids listening today, that's before call waiting.
Right. There was no such thing as call waiting.
Yeah, I was going to say, why didn't you just text her?
No, Kevin, that didn't exist.
That wasn't even a thought.
There weren't.
Your calculator could say Shell Oil or
right.
Hell,
right.
but it couldn't text anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Do you remember the story? And I know it was a news story we talked about. I don't know if there was a movie or television show based on this, but some woman was in a situation where someone was at her house and she wanted to call police. I think it was an abusive husband. And she just said, okay, I'll deal with this. Hang on, let me get a pizza. So she dialed 911 and said, I'd like to order an extra large cheese and sausage. Could you do a pie cut on that? And they're like, excuse me, I think you have the wrong number. Yeah, okay, that would be delivery. Can I give you my address?
Yes.
Isn't that genius?
It's genius on her level to realize to do it, but also on the 911 people to realize she wasn't being pranked. It wasn't a wrong phone number.
Right.
It was legit. So, yeah, that ended well.
That was something we talked about, correct?
Yeah, about a year ago, maybe.
Well,
right?
Keep that in mind, people, because that's a, you know.
Yes.
Someone's at your house and they're robbing you. You can say, you know what? I bet you boys are hungry. Could I get you a pizza?
Right, right. How many movies or TV shows, like classics from days gone by, would be ruined if they took place today because all you'd have to do is quickly make a phone call? Like now what they do, I noticed this because I'm watching The Mist. There's a miniseries based on Stephen King's short story, The Mist.
Are you liking it? Because you didn't like it at first. You didn't like the first, what, 50 minutes or something?
Yeah, on episode one, on the pilot episode, the first 50 minutes were awful, and then the last 8 or 10 were really good. And I'd say every episode, it's just, it's nowhere near as good as the movie, but they keep telling you in the ads for it, somebody at some magazine I've never heard of before said, it's way better than the movie, which isn't true. It's nowhere near as good as the movie. Anyway, like what they do in this and other shows like this is to get around the fact that everybody has a cell phone now, and if there was some major disaster, all you'd have to do is make a phone call and tell the National Guard, hey, we've got this crazy mist and it's doing stuff. So now they always build this into the plot line of whatever's going wrong. Everybody tries to get out their phones and they go, wow, cell service is down. And then they quickly write it off. Like, oh, no one can make a phone call because of the crazy mist.
I like that too.
I guess it makes it more mysterious because then you're like, wow, what is in the mist that's making the cell phones go down? But then that's such an easy plot device, you know, to get around it. They did that in, there was another Stephen King thing called Beyond the Dome or Under the Dome. Under the Dome.
Oh, yeah.
So they also could, oh, that's weird. Our phones don't work. Just
oh,
easy.
I'm sorry. I thought they did it to get help. Like, you know, they have somebody there and they don't want them to realize they're making an emergency call or something.
No, they do it as a way of saying,
oh, yeah, that's weak.
That's too weak, right? You should find some other reason that the cell phones don't work, not just automatic. Oh, that's terrible. We can't make a phone call.
Some TV shows are not very creative, but I have to tell you, there is a creative TV show, and you're not going to believe this. I was a big fan of King and Queens. I don't know if you watched that.
I've only seen a few episodes, but it was good.
I watched every single solitary episode,
yeah.
And I watch it in reruns.
Kevin James, Leah Remini.
Yes, it was really awesome. Then he started this new sitcom, Kevin Can Wait. And a couple of weeks ago, I said to Jimmy Mack, you know, we really love Kevin James. Maybe we should watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
He is amazing to me. He makes me laugh just looking at him.
He's funny.
Very naturally funny. And the
best friend, you know, of Ray Romano, who made that,
oh, yeah,
helped him with that deal. Because Ray Romano had a hit with Everybody Loves Raymond, and he went to the network and goes, I got a guy, he's pretty good, you should use him. And they did.
Oh, my God, that is the best Ray Romano.
Thank you.
Or Eric Ferguson or Kermit the Frog.
It's all of them.
Only two of them are funny, though.
Kermit's funny.
Anyway, I watched the Kevin Can Wait, and he's great.
Yeah, he's very funny.
The kids are pretty good on the show. His brother Scott Valentine is always on his shows.
Jerry Stiller, was he on the show too?
No.
What am I thinking of?
No, he was on King of Queens. I'm talking Kevin Can Wait now.
Yeah, all right.
And I felt bad because his wife on the sitcom is terrible.
Oh, no, really?
I hate to say that.
Why?
She might be a great actress elsewhere, but with him, I just am so used to the chemistry with Leah Remini and Kevin James that this was just like a fizzle to me when I watched it.
That's too bad.
And now it's just been announced, and Leah Remini appeared or will appear on the last couple episodes. I haven't made it to the end of the season.
She was on at least one episode at the end of last season because they made a big deal out of them reuniting. She was a guest star.
Right. Well, now CBS revealed yesterday that Erin Hayes, who plays Kevin James's wife, Donna, is going to be relieved of her duties. She's been let go.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's speculating, you know, is Leah Remini going to be his new wife? Mm-hmm. But that seems weird. Well, now CBS told the Television's Critics Association that they're going to kill her off. They're going to kill off the wife.
Fun for a sitcom.
I can't believe it.
Wow.
This has to be a joke.
No, I think this is real.
So unless there's a zombie episode, last season was likely the last we'll see of the actress on the show. She was let go in June. Her name is Erin Hayes. The character will have passed away and we will be moving forward in time, catching up at a later date. And evidently this opens up the door for him to interact with Leah Remini and perhaps they will hook up.
That's strange.
Isn't it?
Because you would almost think if you're the producers of Kevin Can Wait, you don't want it to be too reminiscent. Even though we had a big hit with King of Queens, you go, oh, this is way too similar if we've got him with his old wife again.
But it's completely different because they have three kids now.
Yeah.
Again, Jerry Stiller is not in it, so that's going to change things quite a bit.
Yeah.
But
it's like when Bill Cosby had Felicia Rashad come back on his Cosby Mysteries show and play his wife again like she did on The Cosby Show.
Dude, I think you're the only one that watched The Cosby Mystery Show because I didn't, know there was one, and two, didn't know Felicia Rashad came back.
For a couple of years, and I don't think she was on it at the... I'm trying to remember. I don't think she was on it at the very beginning, but they added her soon thereafter, and he played... You know, they had different names, of course. They weren't the Huxtables. But, yeah, Bill Cosby was in the news a lot over the last couple of years because of this, Wendy. I don't know if you saw the news, but everybody's up in arms because he used the same woman to play his wife on two different series. It's been all over the papers.
Well, doesn't killed off mean she's getting killed as opposed to she develops breast cancer and dies or something?
If I'm doing a sitcom, I wouldn't do anything as awful as kill off a character. Maybe she would leave him or some, you know, just have her exit somehow.
Like she can't because he's a retired police officer, so he's got a lot of spare time, so I could see her going, you know, this isn't what I signed up for. I can't deal with you being around doing nothing all day. I'm leaving you. That would be better than I've never
maybe like a Drew Peterson sitcom where he keeps marrying different girls and they just keep vanishing.
Will there be blue barrels?
So it's like King of Queens meets Dexter or something.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. It's like King of Queens meets Dexter, Wendy. So
he said that out loud. He could
bring out different celebrity guest stars to play his new wife all the time. And
I just find it funny that a sitcom is killing someone off. That's why I wanted to bring that up to you. Are you going to have me killed off and then Jennifer Stevens will come back and play the part of me?
No, Melissa Forman.
Oh, I so know that's not true. I so know it. I'll kill you off and have Buzz Killman.
Oh, no. Lock the doors, Kevin. Please lock the doors.
But doesn't that seem like a strange way to do it? What happened in Soap? Didn't someone get killed in Soap?
I think a couple people died
on
Soap.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, a few people died. I mean, people have died on sitcoms. It's not the first time
it's
ever.
It's weird.
But, yeah, it is kind of weird. I mean, look at, like... All right, here's a good example. On Cheers, Nicholas Calasancho, who played Coach, he died after the first season. So they had the option. They could have said he moved away.
Right.
But they didn't. They said he died, which normally you go, well, that's hard to be funny when somebody dies. But they made it work.
They did, you know? And they made it funny. They gave it some time and made it funny. And there was always a picture of the coach there.
Yeah.
Of Coach, not the coach, not Ditka. He didn't go there. He frequent that bar.
No, he was never there. Cheers bar. No.
Well, I just wondered how a sitcom's going to do it, because when I hear killing her off, it doesn't mean that she's going to move away or die. She's going to get killed.
They could also do what they did on Happy Days and just have her fall in love with Chuck Cunningham, and then she would just vanish.
And then they get a sitcom.
Right.
And neither of them show up.
Right.
That would be great.
That would be fantastic. All right. Ryan's got the news. That's coming up next, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Ryan, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Left, and it's Wendy Snyder with you on the internet, on the stream. It's the stream of consciousness. It's the bonus hour. One full hour of extra added fun. No charge to you, the consumer.
Not really a full hour ever.
No, roughly an hour. It's just under an hour. I round it up. I want to make...
can you round up my paycheck?
I could do that, sure. Before we discuss this, I need to throw out a disclaimer. I will in no way make fun of Barron Trump during the story. This is a story about Barron Trump, but you can't make fun of Barron Trump because it's bad.
I kind of feel the need to protect that kid. I don't know why, but yeah. I really do. He didn't choose his parents.
Right. Nobody does. Nobody. I don't know anybody who's chosen their parents.
There were times I wish I could have.
Did you ever do this? Did you ever have a friend that had really, really cool mm-hmm. parents? And then you said to your parents, I wish the Abernathy. I wish I could say the word Abernathy.
I know it's not.
Right now, Barron Trump is making fun of me, Wendy. And I need to throw out that disclaimer as well. I wish the Abernathys were my parents.
Did you really say that to your parents?
I just made up the name Abernathy because it was easier to pronounce, but I said it about other people, yeah.
Because I never told my mom that, but I sometimes wish that I'd wake up one day.
Be somebody else's kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no one wanted me.
But you're not thinking that far in advance. You're just thinking, in this ideal scenario, how cool would it
right.
be?
Because I wanted the Bradys to be my parents. Come on, let's be
the
honest.
Bradys
so did you.
Would have been good parents. Yeah. I know I've told you this before, but there's a scene in Back to the Future where there's a different version of the McFlys of mm-hmm. his parents, and they're like a real cool version of his parents. And I just remember seeing that going, oh, I get that. You know, you'd still have the same parents, which is nice, but they would be the parents you always wanted. You know, I think in Back to the Future, didn't they just come from a health club where they were playing tennis or something?
Yes.
And they were dressed really nice and they talked really cool. They were really like an idyllic version of his own parents.
Yeah, but that's when he hit on his mom at one point, too.
That's
so
worked
that
out
was,
weird.
Yeah.
That's worked out
you know,
really weird.
My 14-year-old said that to me. Like, he didn't find it to be weird as you're watching the movie, and I didn't either,
no,
you
I
know?
Did.
It just, because then all of a sudden it hit Dylan, and he's like, that bothers me.
When the first time I saw it, that's Leah Thompson, right, who plays
yes.
your mom?
You're smarter than most kids that see it, though.
I wasn't trying to be smart. It just, much like in the same way in Star Wars, you find out, spoiler alert, I hate to say that, but it is.
From how many years ago?
Luke and Leia are brother and sister, and there's like a weird sexual chemistry between them. There's a kiss between them.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Yeah, but it's still weird.
It is weird, and I'm sure it happens.
How about Donnie and Marie making out at the every episode of Donnie and Marie? You don't think that's weird? Remember they'd show him?
I saw...
He would just be wearing purple socks and she'd get all excited. Remember that?
No. I loved his purple socks. Our radio friend Kevin Matthews posted something. It was an old video clip of Donnie and Marie doing a Steely Dan classic.
What? Seriously?
And it was terrible.
I just like them for their Go Hawaiian commercials for Hawaiian Punch.
I remember that,
too.
Come
on, Go Hawaiian. And then they'd make out.
I
think they did. I thought they did.
All right, anyway,
Maybe it was Donnie and Meryl. No, it was...
She would never make
Alan?
Out with Meryl.
Was it Jay?
No, Donnie was
Jimmy?
The cutest one. Jimmy was pretty cute for a while.
All right, so again, a quick disclaimer, because the law enforces this to the smallest degree. We are not making fun of Barron Trump as we explain this story.
Okay, it's not the law. It's
Barron
just common decency.
Yeah. They have found a book that was written in the late 1800s, and in this book, actually it's a series of books, it's not just one book, there is a character whose name is Barron Trump.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, because that's not making fun of Barron Trump, that's a peculiar name. Barron is a strange first name, Trump is a strange last name, and the odds of them going together, infinitesimal.
It is pretty bizarre to me. I enjoy the name Barron.
The boy in this book, Barron Trump, who we're not making fun of, is aided in his quest by a man named Don, which is like Donald Trump.
No one calls him Don, though.
I don't think anyone does. I think even at his most playful moments, he's Donald.
Yeah.
Right? Reddit users have been discussing these books, along with a number of other Trump-related conspiracy theories. Now, I don't think this is a conspiracy theory.
Mm-mm.
I just think it's a crazy coincidence.
It is.
Isn't it? The books are credited to Ingersoll Lockwood.
Oh, big fan.
Do you like the work of Ingersoll Lockwood? Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Ingersoll Lockwood book? Horton Hears a Trump? Not making fun of Aaron Trump?
Waffle Toes.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. Ingersoll Lockwood, it says here, as you know, is a lawyer who dabbled in fantasy fiction. Newsweek also wrote about the books, noting that the coincidences go beyond the lead character's name, which is just one letter off from the name of Donald Trump's youngest son, Barron. Now, he spells his name, or his mom and dad spell his name, but he complies, B-A-R-R-O-N, not B-A-R-O-N. So
still,
I think I have misspelled it in my diary. sometimes I'll write about him in my diary. Never making fun, just mentioning him. In Barron Trump's marvelous underground journey, wow, that's a cool... I know you can't judge a book by its cover, but if I see that in a book rack, I reach for Barron Trump's marvelous underground journey. Barron is a wealthy young man living in a place called Castle Trump.
Okay, this is weird.
This is almost exact. It's beyond weird. It's impossible to think of something more accurate, more exact than this. But his real adventures begin when Don, who is the master of all masters, inspires him to travel to Russia.
Okay, stop it.
It's real. It was written in the 1800s. Where he finds a portal that allows him to travel to other lands.
This is a little bit Donald Trump, a little bit being John Malkovich.
Yeah, it is. It's right on the 50-yard line of that. It's right there. The man in the book is actually named Don Constantino Bartimolio. Oh, and then it gets crazy. Stefo Lofija Gugancha Gugunjasfum.
Are you okay? You're talking gibberish. Do you have CTE?
I'm speaking in tongues, Wendy, for a reason.
Could you repeat that name?
I could try, but I don't think I'll come close to what I did the first time. Don Constantino Bartimolio. Now the rest is just gibberish. It's just a series of letters put together.
Are you talking about Strefo Fiji Gargantua Shoshim?
No, it's a different guy.
Sorry.
So it says, yes, Don is a title, but still. So they're comparing the fact that this guy, Don Constantino Bartimolio, and then the last name you just said, has a title, and that title is Don, much like he has achieved the title of president. So another coincidence. The English language just needs to be changed. It's just too hard. It's just too hard. Lockwood also wrote a pamphlet in 1896 called The Last President.
All right, a pamphlet doesn't count.
It's very thin.
You can get them in Pueblo, Colorado.
Right, that's the home of the pamphlet. Did you go to the pamphlet museum when you were a kid in Pueblo, Colorado?
I never
Boy, is that fun. Oh, is that fun. It was called The Last President, which does not feature the Barron Trump character, but has some interesting parallels to modern times. It begins in New York City, much like Donald Trump, which is up in arms over the election of an outsider candidate.
Okay, honestly, this is just too scary.
It really is. The news causes those in the upper portions of the city to sit, and then this is in quote, as if paralyzed with a nameless dread, which happened to a couple people in November.
Who shall remain nameless.
Right. We cannot name their names or make fun of Barron Trump. Mobs of vast size are organizing under the lead of anarchists and socialists and threaten to plunder and despoil the houses of the rich who have wronged and oppressed them for so many years, reads an early passage of the book. That's kind of, sort of, almost identical perfectly to what went on. Almost. The coincidences in the book are getting interest from the internet conspiracy theorists. See, I don't... What's the conspiracy? This guy wrote this book over 100 years ago. That's not a conspiracy. Some of whom believe that the portal to other worlds in the Barron Trump book supports a theory that the Trump family has had access to time travel for many years.
Okay, there's your conspiracy. Because that is a load of...
Was he the
bee-boo.
One...
Great pizza, by the way.
Whose picture do they show? No, it's Nicolas Cage. There are people who have found old pictures, like from 1915, and the pictures look exactly like Nicolas Cage. Have you ever seen these?
No, but I have more of these coincidences. I don't know if we're going to have time for them today, but...
I'll stay late. I can stay till 1:03.
I don't recall it with
Nicolas Cage,
but their Jennifer Lawrence is the spitting image of a Silver Age Egyptian actress by the name of Zubeda Tharwat. Looks exactly like her.
Wendy's showing me the picture. They look identical.
I mean, 100% identical.
Look, see if you can put in your Google box Nicolas Cage, because there's pictures
I'd like to put Nicolas Cage in my Google box.
That would be crazy! There's pictures of this guy from like 1914 or 1915 that look exactly like Nicolas Cage.
So, old photos.
Old photos of Nicolas Cage. And then also... Type in Don Constantino Bartolomeo Stefano Figgio Fofosofo.
You said it way better than me. And these have surfaced where?
These were out around Christmas time. Somebody found a couple of pictures and they go,
oh, yeah.
You're seeing them? That guy looks like Nicolas Cage, and that's from 108 years ago.
140 years ago. And it's really, Bill, because it says proof Nicolas Cage is a vampire.
Well, he is a vampire. I mean, do we need more proof?
An online entrepreneur is selling a photo from 1870 on eBay, which he says proves Nicolas Cage is a vampire. Jack Mord, not to be confused with Jack Ford, is asking for $1 million for a photo of a man believed to have lived in Tennessee around the time of the American Civil War who has a resemblance to the Hollywood star.
Why can't the North and South just get along?
Mr. Mord, that's just a weird name.
Yeah.
Mr. Mord, a dealer in antique images, believes...
I think Mord means death in French, doesn't it?
Mort.
Mort does?
Yeah. Voldemort.
Oh, right.
Dead Valder.
Yeah. Conspiracy theory? I think not.
Mr. Mord, a dealer in antique images, believes the photo is of Nicolas Cage himself and proves that the actor's a member of the Walking Undead. That's just
stupid.
See, that's where the conspiracy comes in, that there's a portal.
So if these theories are to be believed, the Trump family and somehow Nicolas Cage and maybe Jennifer Lawrence have access to a portal in which they can travel through time.
I get confused enough and run late in real time. Why would I have a time travel machine?
Right. You'd still be late.
I know.
How come Wendy's still late? She's got a time travel machine.
I don't understand it.
Do you remember the pictures that surfaced 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, where it was some picture from 1923, but there was a lady walking down a street in New York and she had a cell phone?
Oh, really?
Did you ever see that?
Uh-uh.
They can't figure out. I mean, there's a lot of theories on what she was, what
Photoshop,
she had.
Photoshop? That's why they can't figure it out?
Well, no. Here's what they came up with. They said that sometime around then, I want to say this was the mid-1920s or maybe 1930s, there was some sort of a hearing aid device that looked almost identical to what our cell phones are like. So she had one of these in her hand, but it looks like she's walking down the street making a cell phone call, even though it's 1926.
Maybe it was a transistor radio. Were those around then?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because you know how people held the, especially on a hustling, bustling street.
Yeah. But this looks like almost identical to what our cell phones look like today. Like a transistor radio has a slightly different shape to it.
Yeah, I guess.
But this looks almost identical to...
A flip phone?
A flip phone, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So women from the 1920s walking
with cell phones. I don't know what to say to put through Google on that one. I don't know. So what will become of this? It's just a weird series of coincidences, right? This guy had no prior knowledge over 100 years ago that Donald Trump would be president, and he'd have a son named Barron, and they'd be from New York, and he'd reach the president. That's impossible.
That is impossible, but the mystery surrounding a video that appears to show a young woman talking on a cell phone in 1938 may have been solved.
Do they say what I just said? Did they say it was a hearing aid?
The black and white footage shows a group of young people, possibly factory workers, walking out of a building. A brunette in a light-colored dress smiles into the camera, her hand pressed to her ear. She's holding what looks to be a large portable phone. Time traveling was brought up.
We could probably cross that one off the list.
Yes.
Even though it's been brought up, I don't think... I don't think it's time travel.
She was 17 years old. She was traced to it, and they asked her. They actually talked to her.
Oh, that woman still is alive?
This was from Huffington Post a couple of years ago.
Oh.
This was in 2013, a few years ago.
Yeah.
according to a person, someone professes to be the grandchild of the cell phone woman. Her name is Gertrude Jones. She was not a time traveler. She was 17 years old. I asked her about this video. She remembers it quite clearly. She says the company that she worked for reportedly owns the factory in the video, had a telephone communications section in the factory.
Yeah.
They were experimenting with wireless telephones. This
wow.
woman and five other women were given these wireless phones to test out for a week, like a walkie-talkie kind
yeah.
of thing. So, it wasn't a hearing aid.
For some reason, in one of the accounts I read, that was the way they most easily explained it, was that there was some sort of a hearing device that was prevalent back then that would have been the same size and shape as this.
This was just like a walkie-talkie type thing.
Oh, all right.
And I wanted to bring up to you
so
also...
You couldn't take a selfie. There were no selfies in the 30s. You couldn't play Candy Crush.
No.
No.
Who would need a phone then?
Right.
If I couldn't play Candy Crush, although I have a new game, I'll tell you about it someday.
Right.
It's where you have to build words, so at least I'm getting smarter.
Oh, that's better. That's better.
It is. I wanted to bring this up to you, too, as you bring up this Barron Trump story.
Yeah.
Of course, this novella, Futility, told the story of a ship that was sunk. And the ship that was sunk bore the name the Titan.
Uh-huh.
You know the story?
No.
In 1898, 14 years before the sinking of the Titanic, fantasy writer Morgan Robertson wrote the novella Futility. Told the story of a ship. It sunk. The name of the ship was the Titan. But it wasn't just the name where we can see an eerie coincidence. Both the fictional and real ship were described as unsinkable, had similar technical characteristics, lacked a suitable number of lifeboats, and collided with icebergs in the North Atlantic.
Wow.
So that's after the sinking.
Everything.
Yeah. After the sinking of the Titanic, the book was republished with the title Futility or The Sinking of the Titan.
Wow, he came really close.
I know.
Didn't he?
So that's pretty freaky. I found these coincidences because I love these things.
Yeah.
Because... I don't know. Coincidences are pretty amazing to me.
Remember when everyone went, this is our second Back to the Future reference, but there's that scene in Back to the Future 2 where it says that the Cubs were playing Florida in the World Series and everybody made a big deal out of that.
And they also predicted...
They missed. It wasn't Florida in the World Series. We played them in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right.
We couldn't because they're both National League teams.
All right, well, here's another one that I thought was pretty amazing. The famous composer George Handel...
He you wrote Messiah.
Yes. Was a neighbor of the famous guitarist Jimi Hendrix.
What?
All right.
Really?
Admittedly, they were separated by two centuries.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not right.
Handel lived in London at 25 Brook Street.
He's the one who invented the name for, if you were on a CB radio, he's the one that invented that. Like, you can't just have a name. He said, let's go with a Handel.
But it's pronounced Handel, I think.
Right.
What's your Handel?
He and his wife, Gretel. Came up with this.
Handel lived in London at 25 Brook Street, whilst Hendrix lived for a time at 23 Brook Street.
Oh.
They were both incredible musicians who had a major influence on the development of music in their respective eras.
Yeah.
Eras, I almost said.
No, eras.
I love all these crazy coincidences, and I found this at brightside.me. I don't know. Sometimes when you're Googling, you've come up with these things.
Yeah.
One of the first people who... there are two pictures of the Hoover Dam, which I have never gone to see and would love to.
I've had the chance to go, and I have not seen it.
Why did you blow off the chance?
I don't know. It just didn't... I don't know. It's just a dam.
It's a it's huge.
I guess I should see it eventually. I'm just not in any hurry.
Well, one of the first people who lost their life during the construction of the Hoover Dam was George Tierney, who died on December 20th, 1922. He was carrying out preparatory work, getting it ready.
Yes.
The last person to die during construction was Patrick Tierney, George's son, who also died on December 20th. Now, isn't that weird?
That is, yeah. That is very weird. Because I would, if there was a particular place where a loved one or relative had perished,
you would not.
I would
there.
Avoid that area.
You know, the Lincoln, Kennedy, all those.
Oh, yeah.
A multitude of strange coincidences.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is that weird, but I will share it with you. The first and last soldiers, the graves of the first and last British soldiers killed in the First World War are located 6 meters from each other and their headstones face each other. This arrangement was not in any way deliberate. It just, they're almost like bookends of the war.
Yeah.
The first and last soldier killed in the British soldier fleet from First World War, 6 meters away from each other, and they face each other.
That's kind of cool.
I love coinky dinks.
I have one from the world of movies.
Okay.
Did you ever see the movie Capricorn 1?
Yes.
About these soldiers?
Astronauts.
Same thing. Soldiers and astronauts.
Well, they're space soldiers.
They're space soldiers, right. All right. So it's a fake landing. What planet did they land on Mars? Where do they go?
I think so. I don't remember.
It's not the moon.
The specifics.
They go to another planet, right? And they fake it. They don't actually go. So there's a big conspiracy, and they fake it. And in the movie, you have James Brolin. He plays one of the astronauts who doesn't agree with the fact that they're faking it. He wants the American public to know. And then Elliot Gould comes to his rescue, and he helps him, you know, explain to America, if not the world, that this was fake. But there's a scene where these guys are together, Elliot Gould and James Brolin, and they're kind of on the run from Hal Holbrook and the bad guys. So why is that weird that those two actors are working together? James Brolin and Elliot Gould.
I don't know.
Elliot Gould was married to Barbara Streisand in the 1960s. James Brolin is married to Barbara Streisand today.
That's a little bit of a stretch. How long have you been thinking about this?
When I saw that in the theater, I had them stop the film. I said, please, film shower, stop it. I must explain to these people.
Projector man.
How amazing this moment is. Because at the time, they didn't. James Brolin didn't know Barbara Streisand when they made the movie. It just happened that way later. Or else, like during the scene, they could have discussed Barbara Streisand. They could have said, "Well, how has your experience been being married to Barbara Streisand? Pretty good. How about yours?" They could have chatted about it.
You're really dangerous since you haven't been playing tennis.
Thank you.
You have too much spare time on your hands.
Yeah.
And finally, the creators of The Simpsons made an episode in the year 2000, which made a joke about Donald Trump becoming president.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Even more amazing is the fact that the show presented Trump's election campaign in a way that was almost identical to scenes from real life when he launched his presidential bid. Although even The Simpsons couldn't predict all the turmoil that's going on in the White House administration right now.
Right. All right. That's it. We have to take a break.
That is no coincidence.
That's not a coincidence. That's not a conspiracy theory. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll close things out. We'll tie the boat up to the shore. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Our music is here. You know what that means. 2 minutes of overtime.
We get paid 2 minutes of overtime. I will see you at the boat store.
The boat store?
I'm buying a boat with my 2 minutes of overtime. Plus, there is a sugary beverage tax that I'm levying against you because I have been very sweet today.
So I have to pay this.
Penny an ounce. Kevin, weigh me. Quick, bring in my scale.
You've turned into John Lovitz.
Bring in my scale.
It's been a fun time hanging with you today, Bill.
Wendy, this was fun. Now, tomorrow won't be much of a show, but Friday should be good. We're going to shoot for every other day.
Set the bar low.
Who could do a good show every day?
Nobody.
So we'll shoot for two or three a week.
Nobody.
That's it for today's show. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow, not so good. But Friday, killer show. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.